And now, the life of Mary Sutton. With Max committed to the penitentiary for a year and a day, Mary Sutton has been gallantly adapting herself to life without her husband. Stubbornly, she has resisted Gerald Proust's effort to buy Max's closely treasured control in the Sanders interest. Proust, ambitious to dominate the town of Sanders, is not easily to be frustrated, however. Last Friday, he developed that he wanted to speak to Dr. John Benson privately. Benson, Mary's strong admirer, was appointed by Max to be her protector in Max's absence. Now, with a vindictive and influential Gerald Proust anxious to speak to Benson, Mary is worried and apprehensive. Things must not go wrong. And if they do, above all, Max must not hear about it in prison. What's this? It's rather early in the morning for Gerald Post to be calling on Merlin Davis, Max's troublesome board member and no friend of Max's. Let's listen.
Good morning, Davis. A bit of a chill in the air, eh?
Yeah. Morning, Post.
Looks as though the snow is going to fly through.
Yes, sir. The snow or the fur?
The fur.
Oh, sir.
What makes you say that today?
Oh, I don't know. Sit down.
Good. Thank you.
Now, what's on your mind, Bruce, besides the weather?
I want to talk to you seriously about an important matter, Davis.
Important? Important to whom?
Both
you
of us.
Or me?
Both of us, Davis. Both of us.
Well, let's have it.
Davis, in my sphere, as you know, I am an influential man. Just as you are influential in your own, somewhat smaller sphere.
Keep right on going, Proust.
I see no good reason why our separate yet related spheres of influence should not be enlarged by the proper cooperation between us. Do you?
Cooperation between you and me? We cooperated once before, Proust. And you know what happened. What do you want me to do for you this time?
I have an idea which, if we work it out correctly, will compensate you handsomely for any effort you may make.
Well, I don't know what you call handsomely, but what's the proposition? I'll let you know what I think quick enough.
Davis, you are a member of Max Sanders' board of directors. You could be chairman of that same board of directors under my leadership.
Huh. You think you could swing it? If memory serves me correctly, you promised once before.
I know. But once I have control of the Sanders' interests, I could. Yes.
Oh, but you know Mary Sanders holds Max Sanders' stock. And so long as that condition prevails, she's nominal head of the interest.
Have you figured out a way to get the stock?
Well, the woman's stubborn. She won't sell. And how do I enter into it?
You forget, Davis, your sphere of influence. Particularly your influence at the board at the children's clinic.
What has children's clinic got to do with it?
You have a peculiar position in this town, Davis. You haven't a lot of stock in the interest, but you have a lot to say, and you know how to say it. You're a dangerous man in local politics. You're feared. Let's be honest. You're feared not for what you yourself might become, but for what you can do for or against others with your talents as a rabble-rouser.
Rabble-rouser? I'm a man of the people, if that's what you mean.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what I mean, Davis. I only use the term that jealous enemies might be inclined to apply to you.
Oh, that's different then.
Enemies, say, like Max Sanders.
Yeah.
You and Max Sanders never were friends. Isn't that so?
I didn't like the things he did. Running roughshod over me and the rest of the board when he felt like it.
It'll happen again when Sanders gets out of prison. He'll be outlawing it over you again unless we take steps. Now.
What steps?
First of all, do you still agree with me that Max Sanders is not a fit person to direct the destinies of our town?
Absolutely.
And do you agree that I am the logical man to succeed him, remembering that chairmanship for you before your absence.
Now, how about the stock that Mary Sanders holds, though?
Perhaps I can get that with your assistance, your influence with the hospital board and public opinion.
There you go again with the hospital. What I'd like to know, does the hospital have to do it?
Davis, Dr. John Benson is head of the clinic by appointment and subject to the discretion of the board.
Yes, but, go on.
And Dr. Benson right now is standing firmly by Mary Sanders. He's giving her moral support in her refusal to part with her husband's stock in the Sanders interest. She looks to him for encouragement and advice. Now, if Dr. John Benson could be, shall we say, persuaded to understand just where his best interests lay, you see?
Uh-huh. I see. Strictly a case of, look here, Benson, stay out of this, or get out of the hospital, right?
Precisely.
Uh-huh.
Can you see yourself on my side, Davis, in exchange for your long postponed place in the sun? Could it be swung?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it could. Bruce, suppose we just call that a deal.
Good. It's all up to Benson now.
John, I don't think there's any real cause to worry or even think about it. Maybe when Gerald proved that he wanted to see you the other day was just, well, for your professional services.
Well, I am a family doctor. Still, it's his wife, Henrietta, who makes her own and proof appointments. I don't know. He just didn't behave like a man who wants to speak to his doctor about a physical checkup.
Oh, now we're just all on edge over everything. We're likely to make mountains out of molehills.
Yes, I know, but Bruce knows I'm your friend. He's annoyed because you wouldn't sell Max a share in the Santa Dita stream.
Annoyed? He was furious.
Well, there you have it. You see? I'm sure that man would stop at nothing this side of the law to get control of this town. I just don't trust his motives, Mary. I don't doubt that he realizes what part I play in your ability to resist his offers for the stock.
Why, John, he can't touch you. You're a doctor, not a politician. Why, you're completely out of his reach.
I hope so, Mary, for your sake. I'm going to go on helping you just as long as you'll need help. You've lost enough friends, heaven knows.
Oh, but, John, I've made friends, too. Like Mr. Chambers.
Yeah, in prison on the same charge as Max.
But they'll both be out soon. You know, John, it's a funny thing about doors. These prison doors. They're open to two-way traffic.
What about Jeffrey Barton? You lost him as a friend. And he's powerful in town.
No, I haven't lost him. He just warned me that if resentment in town against me got too strong, he might have to conceal his friendship for me.
Mary, friendship has to be out in the open to be any good.
John, I don't blame Mr. Barton for having the interest of his workers at heart. They'll be the ones who'll be affected if there's any lack of cooperation between his factory and the mill because of me. I tell you, John, I won't have my friends badger the few that for defending me. Rather than that, I'd...
What, Mary?
Nothing. Only I don't know if anything's worth unrest and real feelings.
Not even your pledge to Max to save his interest for him?
I don't know, John.
But he's stuck in a fan of interest is what's saving this town. His reason in the face of unjust imprisonment. His tie with the world he's left behind him. And it mustn't be cut.
Well, at least he mustn't know about it if it is.
Harry, you wouldn't think of...
I don't know what I'd think if I had to decide about holding or giving up Max's stuff. A bundle of engraved certificates doesn't seem worth a lot of human misery and bitter feeling. On the other hand, I love my husband.
Yeah.
I know how much his control in town means to his self-esteem, to his...
And you promised him faithfully you'd fight for his rights.
Mm-hmm. No one can promise victory. And a costly victory is another kind of defeat. I just don't know, John. Oh, excuse me.
Really?
Yes? Who? Oh, yes. Yes, Dr. Benson's right here. Yes, that's my office. It's for you, John.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Yes, this is Dr. John Benson. Oh, yes, I suppose I could see you now. Suppose you meet me at my office about 5. All right. Goodbye. Yes. All right. I'll be alone. Goodbye.
Gerald Proust?
Yes, Mary. Gerald Proust. Being very sure of himself about something.
How sure Gerald Proust feels and about what you soon find out, Dr. Benson. Gerald Proust, always dangerous, is a hard man to beat if he holds the fist. And Merlin Davis has supplied that.